Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
This is Amy Loboda with Managing Safety Podcast. I'm here at Sun and Fun 2012. It's amazing. With Craig Fuller, who is the president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. And this is day two of Sun and Fun. You guys are hosting a breakfast this morning.
Well, you know, Amy, this is an exciting event for us because Florida has more members than any other state in AOPA except California. And so it's the biggest state in the whole Southeast. And of course, it draws people from the whole region. And this breakfast gives us a chance to thank our members and visit with them a little bit about what we're doing, about some of the things happening in Washington. And of course, a little bit about the work of our Air Safety Institute and our foundation.
Washington is a hot button these days. Now, you said, I want to take two steps back, and we were talking about AOPA membership. AOPA membership is at what these days?
You know, we're right about 400,000. The membership has stayed strong. We are concerned that we're not seeing as many student pilots come into the aviation community. And that's something we are working on. But the membership stayed strong, and they're very supportive. And, of course, at events like this, you kind of get rejuvenated because they're all so enthusiastic about general aviation. They've got a real passion to fly or they wouldn't be here.
That's nearly 80% of the licensed certificated pilots in the U.S.
There are just over 600,000 pilots with current medicals.
Okay.
And we have a very high percentage of the general aviation pilots. We also have within that membership people who are aviation enthusiasts who may not be flying currently. So the numbers are a little hard to compare, but definitely the vast majority of people who are flying GA, we're very pleased, are members of AOPA.
The hot button in Washington these days revolves around that budget, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, this is a presidential campaign year, and everything in Washington is about politics, it seems. The budget was released after the Democratic leader in the Senate said he wasn't going to debate the budget this year in the United States Senate. I don't know how that's supposed to work. There's a strong opposition to user fees in Congress, very strong opposition on a bipartisan basis, and both House of Representative members as well as senators have sent the president a very clear message. They won't support a user fee. However, it is in his budget, and so we'll work hard this year to make sure that doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, AOPA was really strong leadership behind that letter, was it not?
Well, you know, the nice thing about the relationship we have with leaders in Congress is they get an idea, they wanted to send a letter, they asked for our help to make sure it got passed around and more signatures were added. And so we, along with EAA and NBAA and GAMA and the other general aviation organizations, all did our best to make sure they had as many signatures on that letter as possible. They got almost half of the House of Representatives to sign the letter.
Well, see, now that doesn't surprise me because our Congress are probably some of our largest users of general aviation.
This is true. And you know, the interesting thing about members of the House of Representatives is that within every congressional district, there are general aviation airports. And so they understand the economic value these airports represent in their community. And sure, there are some who raise the questions of noise and all that, but for the most part, they've been pretty supportive. And we've done a lot, I think, over the last few years to educate them about the value of general aviation. And I also think it makes a big difference. And I think this is a very important point that some in our community don't always appreciate. The fact that the general aviation organizations stand together mm-hmm. is a huge advantage and a real sign of strength. And it brings to us members of Congress who want to be part of a very, very strong, you know, coalition of organizations.
And when you're talking about coalition, you're talking about the National Business Aviation Association, you're talking about the Experimental Aircraft Association.
Yeah, absolutely. GAMA.
GAMA,
the
absolutely.
Group NATA that represents the FBOs and air charter companies. Really, everybody has been together. We often at times appear on stage together, and as I always like to say, we not only agree on policy matters, we actually like each other, so it makes it even better.
That definitely helps, yeah. I agree. And would you say that you're caucusing monthly, bi-monthly?
You know, actually, it's the General Aviation Caucus in the Congress, in addition to having so many members, each member has a staff person connected to the caucus, and it gives us really it's like a broadcast email. It gives us a group of people that we can talk to daily, communicate with daily if we have to, as issues move. So sometimes there's a lot of contact, depends what's happening on the Hill, sometimes just a little. We've been pleased that Harrison Ford, who's been so helpful to us, has appeared twice now before General Aviation Caucus events, and that's always a thrill for them. They always seem to like that.
Yeah, most definitely. It doesn't hurt to have a little star power on your side.
That's true.
Coming in here this year, you're going to talk today. Can you tell me a little bit about how you're going to talk at the breakfast this morning?
Well, I always get multiple opportunities to speak. Last night, I'll start there to say that we opened Recreational Aviation Foundation's Fire Hub, and I was so pleased to get a chance to thank both Lights, who's running Sun and Fun, as well as John McKenna, who was the president of the RAF. They let us participate. We really enjoyed it in this first fire hub in the nation. And it's a wonderful site. It's a place where people can gather. It does involve a campfire. They have amazing metal sculpture, frankly, that etched our AOPA logo along with Sun and Fun and RAF into aluminum propeller blades. I think it's something that's going to be lasting, and I think it's going to spread around the country. So that was fun. I'm here today to welcome our members. I might talk a little bit about what's in the tent. We have a Redbird flight simulator in our tent. We have a real emphasis on flight training. We've done a lot of work in the flight training area for the last 3 years now.
Yeah, you've really had some true outreach. I know you're utilizing Flight Training Magazine, which belongs to AOPA,
right.
But is kind of, it's inside outside the membership. It's
right.
A way for a student pilot to actually get 6 months to look at AOPA.
Exactly.
Is that
exactly.
correct?
Exactly. That's true. And we are absolutely committed to the idea that we can improve the numbers when it comes to students successfully completing their flight training experience. Today, got a few enthusiastic volunteers
Absolutely.
Going by.
The garbage brigade, always wonderful.
Today we see 70 or 80% of the people who start flight training drop out before they become private pilots.
So the real problem is not the number of private pilots, it's the number of dropouts in flight training. Is
well, we could sure make a big difference if we got to 30% dropout, we would have tens of thousands of more pilots every year. So we've studied what goes into a successful flight training experience, and that's something we'll talk more about over the next several weeks. But it's clear to us that we can help educate the student pilot as well as the flight instructor about how to have a stronger bond and a more successful experience. And so that's a big initiative for us.
Terrific. That's actually one of the reasons that Sun and Fun can be such an exciting show, because there's a real preponderance of very light aircraft here, and aircraft that are becoming the new trainers. Those would be the light sport aircraft.
No, light sport, I think, is playing an increasingly important role in two ways. The one you mentioned, where it becomes a less expensive aircraft to use in flight training, and thus, by lowering the cost, brings more people into it. It's also become an aircraft that people can fly who maybe have flown all their lives but no longer need an aircraft for sort of real transportation mm-hmm. needs. They can simply want to go flying for fun and occasionally get somewhere, but really it's something that's important to us and an important part of our community.
Yeah, and in terms of that introduction, cost is a real barrier for people who are dropping out.
Cost is, although what you have to realize today is that the average age of a student pilot is around 40.
That's pretty different from what it used
different.
To be 25, 30
different.
Years
and it's,
ago.
It's a widespread. But there are people who are very committed to good customer service, to quality instruction, And so you can't take things for granted. You really have to provide a very good experience for today's, I would say, maybe slightly more critical student than perhaps we had in the past.
Okay, and then the last question I have is, how is AOPA looking forward and addressing the potential shortages coming down the road that people are saying, no, really, this time we're going to have a pilot shortage? I mean, yes,
yeah.
No, maybe?
Well, I really do believe we are in the beginning of a pilot shortage. I think we're not replacing pilots that are retiring from flying at a rapid enough rate.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Boeing and other organizations telling us that they're very concerned. The airlines tell us they're very concerned. Air charter operations are having to struggle. So I do believe there's a shortage, and I think the very best thing we can do is really work with the flight training community, but also educate people that this is within your reach. And if you go, I always urge people to stop in, if they're in Austin, to San Marcos Airport and see what's happening at Skyport. This is a kind of a laboratory, if you will, that Redbird's flight simulator has built. They're finding that they can produce pilots who maybe spend 30 to 40 hours in the airplane, as opposed to the 60 or 70 that oftentimes happens at a much higher cost, because they're using flight simulators.
And these are pretty nice flight simulators.
They are.
I mean, that's a reason all alone to come by the AOPA booth.
Well, that'll give you a glimpse into what I think the future does hold, because I think we're going to find that that's a very efficient way, whether it's the Redbird flight simulator or others made by other manufacturers. It's a very efficient way to get people started in flying and then make that transition into the actual aircraft.
Craig Fuller, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us here at Managing Safety. You have a wonderful day and a wonderful sun and fun.
Thanks. Always a pleasure to be with you. Glad you got the day started with
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. And we can get more information about all this stuff at www.aopa.org.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.